Yo, welcome to Spectator Sport, and I'm Zach Roach, along with my partner, Mr. Ali Wally. We got a big show for y'all today. We're going back in time. The Bears have not won a playoff game since when? 2010?
Yeah, 2010.
Wow, so it's been such a long time, and we're going to break that season down and also go through why the hell haven't they won a playoff game since? And we got help with that. We got my man Boone in the building to help us out there. We got Coach Floyd with us. Man, ready to get into this. Make sure you go on YouTube, subscribe to that Spectator Sport page. Also, you can listen on Spotify. Now let's talk about the last team that won a playoff game in Chicago, 2010. Jay Cutler and company.
Jay Cutler.
You know, the Devin Hester days. Is he in the Hall of Fame yet? He should be in the Hall of Fame for returning the kicks. Yeah. But Brian Urlacher and company, that was their last hurrah. Lovie Smith was still the coach. So, boom, talk to me about the Chicago Bears of 2010.
You know what? It's very ironic. That was Jay Cutler's second year with the Chicago Bears. We got Justin Fields' second year with Chicago Bears. We had Johnny Knox was our really best receiver. You had Devin Hester out there. We had Earl Bennett from Vanderbilt. All right. We had Greg Olsen playing before Mark Stressman. Mike Marks.
Yep.
That was his year with the Bears. And the defense was the whole situation. That was the weakest. I went back and saw games. I saw regular season games. I saw playoff games. That was the weakest whole line. It was sad. The way they was knocking Jay Cutler head off over and over again, having speeding up, having making mistakes, having looking bad. The receivers were small. They was, Johnny Knox was our best receiver. Earl Bennett. Was, you know, I mean, Devin Hester, come on now. You can't say nothing good about those receivers that we talking about.
It was mediocre.
Mediocre at best. Yeah. At best, mediocre. The O-line was way below mediocre, all right? Matt Forte was a horseman. God bless Matt Forte for
Forte
the rest forever. God bless that guy. And the defense was solid. I mean, that was Julius Peppers' first year, all right? We had Earl Lacker. We had Harris. We had Tommy Harris, but we also had Lance Briggs.
Yep.
We had my boy, shout out to my boy Instagram, Anthony Adams, Spice Adams.
Yeah. Spice
he was
Adams.
Out there starting. We had Israel Dalinger.
Peanut Tillman,
Mark Anderson at the end. That was his rookie year. So we had a pretty good team.
Yeah, Mark Anderson.
That was his rookie year?
No, that's 06 you think about.
Super Bowl year. I don't remember Israel Dalinger in the year 2010 beat Mark Anderson out as a starter.
Okay.
Israel Dalinger started.
Yeah.
A very hidden gem in that year was Chris Harris at safety. He was making plays. Every game I went back and reviewed, he was around the ball. If he wasn't getting the tackle, he was getting assists. Danny Manning was the other safety. You know, we had Peanut Tillman, we had Jenkins, the other corner. Yeah. And I feel like that team was really an overachieving team. Mm-hmm. Okay, their offense was horrible. Couldn't convert on third downs, couldn't run the ball because the O-line was weak for most of the season. Couldn't throw the ball to those weak receivers. I'm sorry, I'm going to call them weak.
Johnny Knox was decent, though. Johnny Knox, he had the injury, had the serious back injury later on in his career.
Johnny Knox,
but he was pretty decent. I like Johnny Knox.
He was decent. He was 180 pounds, okay? He was a little guy.
He has some speed, though. He'd get down that field.
No, I saw him making 40-yard catch. He'll burn you. You know what I'm saying? He'll burn you, but that wasn't no. Come on, that's not a receiving core you can write home about. But that defense was pretty good. They gave up yards, but they didn't give up touchdowns.
Bamba don't break.
So it was an ugly season. Going back looking at it, you can tell they're not Super Bowl contenders. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they won a lot of ugly games. So, all right, I'm going to stop talking, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Week one versus the Lions, when Megatron had the touchdown, and he went down and they canceled that touchdown because they said he didn't get back up with the ball. That was like that lucky little breaks that the defense was getting. So it really wasn't that great of a team. You just got a lot of lucky little breaks. I remember watching the Redskins game when Jay Cutler threw four interceptions of D'Angelo Hall.
He owns Jay Cutler.
He owned him.
Every time he plays Jay Cutler, it was a lot of ugly
football, but we wound up winning a lot of games. Then we beat the Seahawks in the playoffs, second round of the playoffs. Then we got killed. The first half, he got killed by Green Bay in the NFC Championship. Then he made it look like a game. Culler got hurt in the second quarter. So it was a really ugly team, but we won game, but it was ugly. Every game was so ugly.
I don't know. I hear what you're saying, ugly. I think it started off ugly.
It started off real ugly.
It started off real ugly, but I think the breaking point of that season, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, was when they played the Giants on Monday Night Football, and the Giants had an ultimate sack fest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was really.
And then I think that's when Mike Marks went and changed the offense and made it short pass and run the ball. From there on, I thought they played pretty efficient football offense through the rest of that season.
They did their best. That was Julius Peppers' first season. Yeah. He didn't really kill like you think, you know what I'm saying? Julius Peppers' first season. He made the Pro Bowl, but I didn't really feel like his stats popped out to me through the games. And he got more efficient. Mike Marks, that was Mike Marks' first season with the Bears, too. Yeah. Jay Cutler's second season, Mike Marks' first season. And he had to adjust, you know what I mean? So it took a little while for the O-line to get solidified, too. The O-line was a bunch of turnstiles until later on this season. So it was just ugly to me.
So you two just said something that was very important, that later we came to find out that Mike Tice and Mike Marks did not get along.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the offensive line, you're talking about the drop steps. So it was a lot of turmoil going on with inside the building. Their reports later on came out and said that them two probably still don't like each other.
Right.
They ain't like each other.
I mean, think about Jamarcus Webb starting that tackle, you know what I mean? It was just a real ruggedy, ugly, rough. That was Olin Cruz won his last season with the Bears. He was still pretty good. You know, it was an ugly team.
But they was 11-5. They finished 11-5 that season, though, right?
Yeah.
11-5. So, I mean,
they won a division.
Had a first round bye. They actually won. Cutler had a great playoff game against Seattle.
And the Bears defense came through. You talk about, the defense was great. They was up 28-0 against Seattle in the third quarter. Yeah. And then against the Green Bay Packers. In the NFC Championship game, I believe the Packers only converted like two or three third downs in that game. You know what I'm saying?
They made Matt Hasselbeck look bad.
They made Aaron Rodgers not have a great game against him.
He had a first game.
Remember, when Aaron Rodgers made the biggest play of the NFC Championship game, when he tackled Urlacher. That was the biggest play because Urlacher had that pick. And if Aaron Rodgers do not make that tackle, the Bears, this might be a whole different tune. The Bears might have went to the Super Bowl.
And then the Green Bay kept getting real good field position because Jay Cutler threw a couple of interceptions in that game. They wasn't helping out the Bears defense. The Bears defense was solid. I ain't saying nothing bad about the 22
Bears. So you had Tommy Harris out there, you know, which was great. You know, one of our best defensive tackles in recent history until Kaden Hicks came in. The Bears defense was really strong and solid, like I said. If you watch, Chris Harris was a strong safety. Our boy Brisker, right? The rookie named Brisker? You can only, he should be better than Chris Harris, you know, think about it. But if he can make plays like Chris Harris, like Amos coming down, making tackles, this dude has so many tackles throughout the season.
Yeah.
I mean, if Brisker can be out here hitting and letting my boy, this free safety, Eddie Jackson, go out there and roam and be deep. I mean, it could be nice, but
there were no weaknesses on that Bears 2010 defense. They was solid. That was a really good defense.
It was a real solid defense. The linebackers were solid.
They might not have been the best defense.
They had the Hawaiian guy, and they had Roach. Nick Roach is the linebacker.
Was he still on that team?
He was there. Nick Roach is out there.
He named everybody on the roster.
I really like that team.
You got Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher, Briggs at the wheel, Urlacher, that's gonna make up for a lot of speed, a lot of those. One too many bad combination defenses with Urlacher and Briggs.
And Chris Harris out there too. Chris Harris was a beast. I mean, I didn't look at that man his roses, man. Chris Harris was killing out there, yeah. So, you know, but the playoff drought from here until then is all based off not giving Cutler what he needed to succeed. Cutler was a decent, he could have worked with something. I mean, we got Brandon Marshall and
I was tired of Marshall.
Martellus Bennett.
I was tired of Marshall about the third year he was hitting. I ain't gonna lie.
No O-line, no real receivers. Yeah. So Cutler was struggling. And you know, he was shell-shocked from all the hits he got leading up to try to get him some real help around him. So I think the quarterback is the reason why we had a big long drought, which is of course, you know what I mean? But the O-line is the real reason, because you didn't have to give them Jay Cutler protection, you didn't get them no receivers. Yeah, you had one, you had Devin Hester being the highest paid receiver. Come on, Devin Hester is not a receiver. So it was all bad news, getting Cutler peanuts to work with instead of, you know, something you can do something with.
Coach, talk to me about this 11-year drought the Bears have went through.
The 11-year drought, our Chicago Bears. First thing, when we could talk about reasons, Boone talked about not giving weapons or whatever. I think it needs to go a lot higher than the coach. I think it needs to go a lot higher than the players. I think it needs to go a lot higher than the GMs. The Chicago Bears structure is just messed up. And I don't see us winning. I see the drought going for a very long time. Number one name I come to is going to come to is Ted Phillips. Been in that position since 1999. 1999. I don't know. I know McCaskey won't get fired. That's their team. Right. But I don't know what he got on them. He must got some naked pictures. He must have something. But this man cannot lose his job. Now, I do realize Ted Phillips is an excellent businessman.
Yeah.
But he has no clue about football.
No, you got to.
And so because he doesn't have any clue about football, our organization is doomed. Yep. And the number one thing, the number one recipe for success, if you look at any team in the NFL over the last years, is the GM has to be on the same page with the head coach, and these two have to be on the same page with the quarterback.
Yep.
And if you look, since 2011, we haven't had that.
Nope.
We have not had that, but one year, and that's 2018, whereas 2018, where Ryan Pace chose Matt Nagy, chose Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
That was the only year. But if you even go back to Jerry Angelo, who was the GM at the time, he ended up getting fired a year later.
Yeah.
He signed Jay Cutler.
Yeah, right.
So Phil Emery inherited Lovie Smith. Phil Emery inherited Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Okay, so now Lovie Smith has a 10-6 season, didn't make the playoffs, he gotta go.
Yeah.
All right, so he goes to get his own. Everybody know you can't talk bad about Lovie Smith in Chicago, should he have got fired or whatever. But this consistently happens where the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback is not on the same page.
Yep.
We got Phil Emery. For whatever reason, Jay Cutler had a great year. 224 for 355, 2,600 yards. 19 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
What year was it?
This is 2013.
Okay.
Mediocre year. For some odd reason, Phil Emery says, let's go sign Jay Cutler to a 7-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Just consistently moves that's like, first of all, this ain't even your quarterback.
Yep.
But some type of way you believe in this guy.
Yep.
Okay, Jay Cutler. So then Phil Emery go get Mark Trestman. We know how that goes. So as you go down the lines, it's just consistently just bad GM moves. Ryan Pace comes in. As Ryan Pace comes in, they hire a firm to hire Ryan Pace.
Yep.
But then they got this arranged marriage that John Fox comes in. Ryan Pace comes and say, hey, John Fox is not even my coach. Like, but now they working together and they don't even believe in each other.
Yeah.
So Ryan Pace drafts Mitch Trubisky.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
John Fox says, I didn't even know he was going to get drafted. So it's just consistent, just structural damage that we have to this organization.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ryan Pace, John Fox, Mitch Trubisky's not on the same page. Okay, Ryan Pace says, we got to get rid of him. I'll go get my own guy. 2018 happened. Everybody in this room thinks that the Bears should have won the Super Bowl. We think we had enough talent. Mitch might not have been good enough. Nagy might not know what he's doing. But that was the closest
we
thought we was going to do.
Yeah.
So that was the one year where all three people was on the same page. Then we go to 2019. I think the most important year, and this is what the demise of Ryan Pace was. This 2018 was great. We were headed for great things. We had high expectations. High expectations, and all offseason, all you want to talk about is Cody Parkey.
Yep.
They didn't want to fix the offensive line.
Right.
Didn't want to fix anything. Yeah. We thought we were this organization failure because Ryan Pace has nobody to report to. He reporting to Ted Phillips, and the organizational failure is we're one kicker away.
That was so dumb.
We're one kicker away. And this year was so important. This year was so important that all we needed to do, Ryan Pace came out and said, we know our offensive line is struggling. He go to the draft. He doesn't draft. David Montgomery was a great pickup, but he doesn't address the offensive line. Ryan Pace, for 7 years, I think he was our GM, talked about consistently, offensive line is our struggle. Offensive line is our struggle. But never put any resources or dollars towards it. A couple draft picks, but no free agents at all towards your offensive line. Yeah. So this has consistently been an organization that just had, not just players, not just coaches, GMs, just no accountability for football.
You know what? I agree with you. Because to be in a black and blue division, our offensive line has been mediocre at best for years. Never had a really great O-line.
Well, I would say 06. 06, they was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They was pretty good.
Yeah, that O-line with Thomas.
They was pretty good.
And so even when we continue, we got the whole Mitch Foles, Nagy thing. And guess what? We're right back in the same position.
Yep.
Whereas we got Ryan Poles, we got Matt Eberflus, but that's not their quarterback. That's not their quarterback. This organization cannot get on a timeline like the Kansas City Chiefs, like the New England Patriots, like these organizations, like the San Francisco 49ers or whatever.
They
cannot get on the timeline where the GM and the head coach is on the same page. They're both sold in on the quarterback. This organization keeps making this misstep year after year after year, whereas Ryan Pace was out the door, they should have never let him get a quarterback. I'm happy to have Justin Fields, but if that man made that swing for Justin Fields, I think personally, it's threw off our timeline again. So now Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles is now not sold on a quarterback, as you just seen in the draft, that I'm not going to get it, so I expect some more years, this 11-year drought, to turn in maybe 13,
ooh, 15, maybe 15, 20,
and hopefully.
Okay, I'm glad you just said that, Marcus. So if the Bears don't win a playoff game within the next 2 years, that'd be a 13 straight year of a playoff win drought. That would tie a franchise record. So if the Bears don't win a playoff game within the next 2 years, they're going to tie a franchise record, which from 1964 to 1976, the Bears did not win a playoff game.
64.
Hey, that's Marcus laid out some great points. So before we go, Adi, give me your thoughts on the 2010 Bears.
Yeah, you know what? Boone mentioned Matt Forte. He had a very underrated career. In the Bears' last playoff game that they won against the Seattle Seahawks, he had 134 total yards in that game. Yeah. He's number two all-time in Bears history in rushing yards, number two in receptions behind Sweetness, okay? Matt Forte.
He was underrated. But, you know, he averaged less than 4 yards to carry in that 2010 season, but he was still...
But he was one of the players that started off slow during that season.
Right, yeah.
And as the season got on...
As it solidified the O-line towards the end...
He picked it up.
Oh, man, what a beast.
So he's a very underrated guy. And then Greg Olsen, he had a 58-yard touchdown in that same game.
Yep.
He
first played the game.
Yeah.
First play of the game.
He had a monster game that game.
And that was Jay Cutler's first game he ever played in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, he had 113.
Greg Olsen had three games in a row without a catch, though. Greg Olsen, Mike Marks was able to trade him away to the Rams Carolina Panthers because he really didn't have a great season that year though. He had a good couple of games, but he didn't have a great season.
He came through. I mean, they traded for a third round pick, which is a horrible trade, goofball trade.
It's a horrible trade.
Okay, and Jay Cutler, like we said, the man. He had an excellent game. He actually ran through all-pro safety Earl Thomas for a rushing touchdown to put the Bears up 21-0. He ran for another touchdown to put the Bears up 28-0. But in the very next game, Jay Cutler took all the smoke for being injured in the second half of the game, NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers with an MCL strain. He was legit injured.
He was hurt.
He just didn't look right because he was limping off the wheel.
And nobody said anything. Yeah. Next thing you know,
Yeah, he was on the bike. He didn't go back in the game.
Yeah, Caleb Haney's out there playing. It just caught everybody off guard, I think. It was just like, nobody knew he got hurt when they said he got hurt.
Right, it wasn't one of those deals where he's getting helped off the field and all that stuff.
But then they broke it down. It was like a play where he tried to throw on it, and he short-armed it like crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
People don't talk about that, but he actually tried to play on the MCL.
Yeah.
And he short-armed
it.
He couldn't play.
Yeah, he couldn't play.
Nick Culler was a great back shoulder thrower. He threw the ball deep, he showed the back shoulder, he was pretty good. Jay Culler was a good quarterback for the Bears. I feel like they could have put some around him. We could have won with Jay Cutler. He get a really bad rap in Chicago.
He was tough. I mean, he was a tough guy. He tried to tough it out. But, you know, what get lost also is that Caleb Haney, the third string quarterback, came in the game in the fourth quarter. The Bears were down 14-0. And the man, he threw a 31-yard pass to Johnny Knox that led to an easy touchdown for the Bears. Yep. And you would think that Caleb Haney played like boo-boo, like trash, because the play you see all the time in this game is B.J. Raji with the pick six. Okay, you see, that was a great play call by the defensive coordinator to have him go drop back in the zone. Mm-hmm. Really tricked Caleb Haney. But he bounced back from that, drove the Bears down the field, threw a 35-yard touchdown pass to Earl Bennett to put the Bears only down one touchdown with 4.5 minutes to go in the game. And that defense led by Spice Adams, Spice Adams was on that team, you know. But yeah, you know, like we said, all these guys, Julius Peppers, all them guys, shut down Aaron Rodgers, and the Bears got the ball back to Caleb Haney so he can try to be a hero forever in Chicago. Drove the Bears all the way down the field to the Green Bay 29-yard line, 4-for-4, 48 seconds ago. He tried to force a pass to Johnny Knox in double coverage, intercepted by Sam Shields. Game over, Bears lose by a touchdown. But that game, it was a pretty good game in the second half.
You remember, it was a – now, Mike Murch, I said that was the best season that Cutler had. Mike Murch called one of the dumbest play calls when the Bears was trying to come tie the game, when he called like a reverse.
Yes. he didn't go to Devin Hester. I believe that was Earl Bennett.
I remember that. The Bears, instead of just giving, it was 3rd and 1. Instead of just giving the ball to your horse, who's running, you know. So it was a couple things that went.
And also, don't forget, week 17 of that season, remember what happened?
They tried to knock the Packers out the playoffs.
They lost. And Jay Culler got sacked 6 times that game. On what Boone talking about, getting sacked all the time. He got sacked 6 times that game, and he had a 43 quarterback rating, and he threw a couple of interceptions. He threw the game losing interception trying to throw the Devin Hester in the red zone, and the Bears lost that game by a touchdown. So they would eliminate the Green Bay in week 17. They wouldn't have to worry about going against them in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what the best Bears opportunity since that 2010 season was the very next season.
No,
2011 was the very next season. The Bears were 7-3, and then against the Chargers, Cutler threw the interception and tried to make the tackle.
Trying to make the tackle.
The Bears was on it. They were actually playing better.
They was playing better than 2010.
Their defense was good, and Cutler and them, they were driving the ball down. Good. They were scoring points. I thought that was their best chance because it looked like that team right there might have had a shot. It was, to get to win it.
This one Lovey last year, right?
No, Lovey was next year.
Okay. Lovey was still on that team.
Yeah, because Lovey last year he started off 7-1.
Yeah, and then he lost.
The Bears would have made the playoffs in 2012 if Blair Walsh. It was the Green Bay versus the Vikings.
Yeah.
The last game of the season, and the Vikings beat Green Bay by 3 points by Blair Walsh last second field goal. If Green Bay beats them, then the Vikings don't make it, and the Bears make the playoffs in 2020.
My conclusion, I think the Bears' drought from 2010 to now by winning the playoff game is really letting go on Lovie Smith. If Lovie Smith would have got that offense straight, he was trying, he had Mike Marks, he do a lot of stuff, but he had the team winning. Winning ugly. That's the only way the Bears can win in 2022, win ugly. He was able to win ugly with defense, and he had to work on offense, I granted. But the man was a winner.
So let go of him. The thing about it, though, I disagree. Is now what I'm about to say is the 2011 season does not work out. But what happened is we have been in that the Chicago Bears have been in that spot, that middle spot, whereas you have a good record 1 year, but then you come back and you play a first place record,
right? Yeah,
and then they get killed.
Yeah,
and then you compete with the third and fourth place record, but you can't compete after the first. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's why I mean by the structural organizational is you cannot compete. You have to be able to compete from year to year to year. Whereas the Bears is We hot 1 year, okay, because we played the fourth place record. But then the next year, we 500 because we got the talent, but we can't play with the big boys. I mean, when the last time, Adi, have the Bears made the playoffs?
Back
2 years in a row?
2005 and 2006.
And that's why I bring up 2011, because I feel like that team was on their way.
A first place schedule, and they was on their way.
That's why I bring that year. That was a pretty good
3 year span. 2010, 2011, Jay Cutler got hurt 2011, then 2012. Yeah.
Okay.
Went
10-6. But I'll say the main reason why I feel like the Bears are in this drought is because the double doink. He makes that field goal, the drought is over.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
and so I look at it in the very now what Mark's talking about 2019, the very next season, the Bears got off to a great start.
Yes.
3-1. Then they took that London trip. Okay.
The Raiders.
They played John Gruden in the Raiders,
oh,
right?
Man.
And the Bears looked lethargic and with no intensity and
I blame Josh Jacobs. Breakout game.
I blame Mack for getting blocked by tight ends. I saw that game 3 times. Tight ends was blocking Khalil Mack 1-on-1.
Yeah, that was supposed to be his revenge game.
Yeah, supposed to be his revenge game. You getting blocked by tight ends 1-on-1.
Hey, but I know that the
3rd-and-1, they just ran over the Bears.
Yeah, they. Remember, it was a bad punt in that game, too.
Pierre Lewis tried to block the punt of the Raiders. The Bears getting the momentum back.
They were only down four.
The Bears were only down four. They forced the punt, and then Pierre Lewis tried to block the run into the kicker.
Yeah.
And then the Raiders faked the punt and got the 1 yard gain for the first down, and that was it. Then they got a touchdown on that drive. But Akeem Hicks got hurt in that game.
He missed the next eight games.
Yeah. And he was never the same after that. And the entire Bears team could never get back that 2018 form after that Raiders game. Mm-hmm. And Adrian Amos left the Bears after the 2018 season to go join the Green Bay Packers, which is why Eddie Jackson fell off.
Ricks might be the best. I mean, Ricker, strong safety. We're going from Chris Harris to Amos. Now, hopefully, Brisker, strong safety is a huge part of the defense because you got to bring that guy up, you know, to stop the run. Strong safety is, man.
Another thing is Vic Fangio left the Bears after 2018.
And
we replaced him with Chuck Pagano, who only lasted 2 years in Chicago.
His game was whack.
Like he was just, I don't know what he was on. I don't know what he was on.
He was a player's coach. Like, so, you let them do what they want to do.
So, bottom line, Marcus laid it out. Coach Floyd laid it out perfectly. It's the structure of the organization and how they handle things, overlapping coaches with players that are overlapping with players that don't want to be involved, don't want to be with each other, but you're forcing them to make it. So it's just all that going ahead is just we haven't made smart decisions. And sometimes we held on to people too long. Like for me personally, I know I'm probably the king on this train. We held on for Matt Nagy a year too long. We held him on. I felt like after the 20 season, even though they made the playoffs, I felt like they should have let him go.
Yeah.
They should let him go then. You know what I'm saying? Cause I feel like his ego and him just banging down on them like we're gonna run it my way and that's it. Really hurt Mitch Trubisky, really hurt Justin Fields, and whoever played quarterback in that time. And also, remember the Mark Trestman year. The Bears.
Oh, man.
Don't forget the blitz that Julius Peppers missed when he missed Aaron Rodgers. That was another year the Bears could have.
The 2014 Bears.
They had a hell of a fine offense that year. They were scoring a lot of points. They couldn't stop nobody. I've never seen a defense that bad in
Mel Tucker. The Bears.
Mel Tucker. Oh my God, that was horrible defense. When they played the Patriots and they played Green Bay back to back.
Yeah. And we cannot leave the show without mentioning that we picked Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. I believe we win a game.
I'm a firm believer though. I think Mitch is better quarterback than people.
I think
Mitch over there with Andy Reid now. Now I'm not saying he'd be better than Patrick Mahomes, but I guarantee he'd be a lot better.
I don't think Kansas City wins the Super Bowl.
No, they might not win the Super Bowl, but I think they're a playoff team.
Mitch gonna be good with the
Bears.
Mitch made the playoff team.
Okay. 20 years with the Bears. Yeah,